The Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live.
It's Good Monday. Thanks for being with us. We have Jody Jackson, Jody's Gems, brought to you by E.D. Marshall Jewelers. Jody will be with us. She was at the Cardinal game yesterday, did the pre and post on the radio. We'll get her insights. Are the Cardinals pretenders or are they contenders? There's still a lot of season to go. We'll talk with Jody Jackson about that. And then we'll have John Wilner, Wilner Hotline, all things on the college football front. A very interesting weekend on that play as well. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. As always and through the years, that is Desert Financial Credit Union. We do appreciate their support. Had a great weekend, really did. Need a little bit more Joe in me. Watched a lot, did a lot, took in a lot. I'm caught up in Murders in the Building, taking that in. If you've not checked out Murders in the Building with Martin Short and Steve Martin, when I get away from sports, very funny, very well written. Did that. The ASU game, the NASCAR weekend, the Suns, all that stuff, Kevin Durant being hurt. But we start with my Cardinals. My Cardinals are sitting there atop their division. They've won four in a row. But because they are the Cardinals, I have to say at this point of the season where it's now bye week, this is not Brad hating on a Monday. This is just a fact. Prove it. Prove it. Pretenders or contenders? Okay, you come out of the bye, you're going to go to Seattle. You've got divisional games left against teams that, as I've said and truly believe, in this league and really in sports, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. And so it's right there in front of them. It's right there in front of them. Team looks good. Team looks great, actually, in every facet they look great. It's like, what is going on here? And you can give the credit to Jonathan Gannon and his staff, but you also have to give the credit to Monty Austin-Ford and the way that they built the roster, that they're able to just go out and jack stomp teams. And the Jets are horrible. Okay, there are more bad teams in the NFL than there are good ones. There's just a lot of bad football that is played. And I'm finding myself watching certain teams or seeing that certain teams are on saying, you know, it's just, this isn't very interesting. Like the Jets, could you imagine? When fandom's a really interesting thing to me. Like if you're a Cowboy fan, we've been making fun of the Cowboys for years. And I'm not on, you know, I'm not doing a national thing, but just anybody that watches sports has to say, what a bleep show that is. And people support it, you know, or being a Jets fan. It's just, well, I'm a fan. I grew up, it was with my family. You shouldn't get on my case. Fandom's just really interesting. Like, it's never the team's fault. It's always like the referees. The referees are what screwed out this team or that team over the weekend. Always comes back to, it's never accountability. Okay, it's never, hey, you know what, our team just stinks, but they're my team and I stick with them, fine. But I like to see the passion and the anger that is coming out in some of these fan bases that we're Bears fans and we've just about seen enough. Not, well, we hate the Packers, got it, or we hate the Lions, got it. You've been lapped by the Lions and the Packers, the Vikings, because you're the stinking Bears. Caleb Williams doesn't even get helped up off the turf by his teammates. That's how bad that situation is. And I digress a little bit because for the Cardinals, it is truly prove it. You've had a good start to the season. You've reached the bye week. You've done so with a bunch of injuries on the defensive front, and yet here you still are getting after the opposition. Whether the opposition is good or not, it's up for debate. But I'm not going to poo-poo it. I'm not going to rain on parades. All I'm going to say is Kyler's played as well as he's ever played. He looks as good as ever. He looks like everything that when they drafted him, they were hoping he would become. He doesn't have the greatest receiving core. He doesn't. But they've gotten better. He has a tight end that has become one of the better ones in the league. I'm not going to use the word elite. Elite means you're one of the best and you're on a team that every year goes to the playoffs. That's what's going to hold Trey McBride back. Until they're able to get into the postseason and shut up guys like me or just national audiences, they're going to say, hey, the Cardinals are really interesting. the fact that their defense has played so well, that's the thing. I think there's going to be enough offense here. It's always been, can the defense stop anybody? Because they're not going to be able to. And we're going to have a bunch of 38 to 30 games. Well, that hasn't happened. That hasn't happened. They're winning close games. They're winning decisively. And so, yeah, it's bye week. Let's celebrate. Rah, rah. But I am one of those that is, prove it. Dull. You know, over on the Arizona State front and the college football scene, Arizona State, prove it. You're going to go to a bowl game this year. It's great. Not down on Kenny about it. Not ripping on ASU about it. Beats the alternative of where this dumpster fire was the last several years. But there's still the issue of the president not being committed to winning. Kenny can only do so much. If the president doesn't change his course, which he has never done, then I am going to be the one that sits here most every week and says, we'll see if this thing ever gets turned around. We'll see if NIL ever becomes the deal. It's not that the president has to be meddling, but the president has to be committed to winning. The organization over at Arizona State has to have the wherewithal. Graham Rossini can be a breath of fresh air, which so far he's been that. This week marks 1 year since Ray Anderson left. Okay, this week. Is the athletic department better than it was a year ago? I don't know that. I can talk to people internally who can give me a feedback one way or another. It's funny, winning is a cure-all. It just takes all the warts and makes them disappear. And all of a sudden, it's go Devils, rah-rah. Well, we'll see. There's just a lot behind the scenes that needs to be cleaned up from the previous administration and the lack of commitment of winning by the president. Little things that, as time goes on, rear their ugly head and make things more difficult. Their win the other night, on Saturday night, you can say anything you want about Central Florida. Go for it. Fourth quarterback and all that. They played as a desperate team. Did ASU play a perfect game? No. Were there moments where I looked at Sam Levitt and said, that's Jake Plummer light? Yes. Yes, I do see that in him. It's fun to watch. It beats what's going on in Tucson. And I don't sit here. I didn't go to U of A. I didn't go to ASU. I don't care. But, you know, the buildup for U of A's football season, what an absolute dumpster fire that is. They're coming off the bye week, and let's just see if they're able to get things figured out and get things straightened out these last three games, or if the wheels have really come off and they're just not able to pull themselves together. Kevin Durant is hurt. By the way, it's November, and I just don't care. When Kevin Durant is hurt and it's March, I'll care a little bit. If it's April, I'll care a lot. But him missing a couple of weeks right now, fine. Disappear. You went to the Olympic Games. It takes a lot out of somebody to go do that and not have a true off season. At some point, Devin Booker should feel a twinge in his thigh or his back and needs to miss some games. That's just where we are now in sports. It's a war of attrition. You cannot ask these actors and actresses to go out and perform every single night and have it both ways and not have them be at their best. You just can't. I don't care what happens against Sacramento in November. I only care what happens against Sacramento in a five-game series in April. That's it. And I think you should be the same way. Fine, go buy a ticket. Fine, go invest your time watching. But the regular seasons have become so watered down. They just have. And then NASCAR was here this weekend. And Devin was out there. Devin, and I think Devin took Milan from our team. He took Elia from our team. We do more around NASCAR and racing than anybody. Anybody. It's not even close. We just don't show up the week of and say, hey, look at us. No, there's nobody else that goes to Daytona. There's nobody else who goes to Las Vegas. We do. And we do it really well. And we create a TV show around it that does well because we actually care. We don't just say, hey, give us a check and we'll go do something. No, we put stuff together every week that's compelling and interesting and entertaining. We do it year round. So Devin gets a hats off for that. I feel much better now. All right, Jody Jackson is next. Jody's Gems. I'm Brad Sussmat. Time now for Jody's Gems. As always, brought to you by E.D. Marshall Jewelers, the one and only Jody Jackson, knows all, tells all around the Cardinals and whatever else she wants to on this segment. 6-4 at the break. I'm going to ask you directly, Jody. Pretenders, contenders, the Cardinals at 6-4.
I think contenders, Brad, you know, and last week, I think you asked me playoff team. I said, yes, they are. You look at what they've done over the last 2 weeks. And look, I know a lot of people said going into this stretch of Bears Jets that these were winnable games. They're at home. But we know in the past, the Cardinals have sometimes faltered, especially at home. What they've done is, you know, what do we have? 29-9 against the Bears, 31-6 against the Jets. My higher math from the University of Miami tells me that's 60-15. Now I got to get it right. 60-15. Outscoring teams, just punishing them on defense. This defense has been fun to watch, incredible to watch. And Kyler Murray, you know, really two different games for him, right? He didn't really have to do a whole lot against the Bears. They were pounding people on the ground with that rushing attack. And now Kyler Murray, what he showed me against the Jets, a team that came into the game really good against the pass. And they just came in. You could see the game plan was to throw all over that Jets secondary. Kyler Murray was on target. And, you know, what he did after that huge hit was incredible to watch. So you're seeing a lot of growth here from Kyler Murray. And I know we've seen flashes at times, but what we saw against the Jets was as good as it gets from him.
Okay, this is what we do in the business. That is, we play this out. So you're saying, contender, I am on the fence. I'm on the fence, but I believe they're going to be a postseason team, and here's why. They play at Seattle after the break. Usually going to Seattle doesn't end well, but I think that this is a team that can get that done. Then they go to Minnesota. Then they come home to Seattle. Then they have the Patriots and Panthers in back-to-back weeks. Come on! If there was ever a point where you were not a pretender, it would be those two games. And then they have the Rams in LA and the 49ers at home. It's going to come down, the way I see it, to those last two games if they don't stub their toe. You split with Seattle. You know, what am I? You know, I'm seeing here, Jody, I see a path to 10. This is like the presidential election. I see a path.
Well, yeah. You gotta win Arizona. You got to win your road games. You got to, No, I'm going to do my Steve Kornacki impression now. How do you do it? Right. I mean, what you say makes a lot of sense. However, so many things change and, you know, you hope their health stays pretty good. But, you know, they've had guys come in and contribute even when guys went. You look at yesterday, Jalen Thompson went out and, you know, Rabbit, as we call him, Taylor Demerson, he came in and did a nice job. So you got to keep Kyler Murray on this role. I think that's clear. You know, he's a guy that I think what we saw and what we see when Kyler Murray's rolling is that energy comes off of him. Everybody believes in the quarterback all of a sudden now. Everyone is that much more engaged. So I see that path. For me, it's not as much wins and losses as much as doing what you need to do against those teams that are struggling. Don't have a hiccup. Don't have a letdown. You know, you talk about the Patriots and Panthers.
Yeah.
You know, those are teams that are really struggling. And it just, to me, it also shows, Brad, you know, I looked yesterday, I was watching, I was kind of looking at all the rest of the NFL and what happened on the day. The Buffalo Bills are 8-2. I mean, you know, they clearly went through that heart of their schedule the first month, in that first month. And they proved something. They proved they could hang. And now it's really coming together. So they have to continue to grow. And, you know, I think, again, with the 49ers with McCaffrey back now, they have a whole different energy. But you're right, Seattle, that's the one team. You do have the Rams and the Niners still to come one time, but you have the Seattle Seahawks twice. And so, you know, look, you have to at least split that because you don't want the Seahawks to be the reason why you don't end up in the playoffs.
Right. No, that's to me, it just looks like from the standpoint of the schedule that those are the two games against Seattle that are really to say one thing or another. You ever seen a guy's helmet fly off like Kyler's did, and do you think his head was going to be inside of it the way that it went? I mean, that was...
I feel like I have seen that, you know, whether it's been in a college game or, you know, but that the impact of that hit.
Yeah.
And for a guy to pop up like he did, I mean, you saw it. For me, it was more about like the whiplash. Like, you know, he's feeling that, right? You know, he's feeling that on a Monday morning. But luckily, he was not injured, which is really what matters. And the fact that he popped right up, he didn't get down on his knees and kind of take a moment. He just kind of got up and even smiled. You know, we saw the smile from Kyler Murray, and you're right. You're like, thank God he wasn't beheaded in that moment, because I mean, that look, the O-line did a great job on Sunday, but that was the one guy you don't want him coming after your quarterback, you know, as big as he is, and with all the force that he did with Kyler Murray right there in that moment. And that's what happened. And for Kyler, even after the game, to say it kind of, I'm almost glad it happened. It kind of, quote, juiced everyone up. Like, I was like, I felt like his mother in that moment, like, oh, Kyler, please get up. Please be okay. You know what I mean? So, you know, it was incredible to watch him then throw the great pass to Trey McBride. And then the next two passes were just completely on the mark. I mean, he didn't look rattled at all. If anything, it did look like an adrenaline rush for Kyler.
Sure. You go down a roller coaster and you get off of it, and you take a hit like that, you don't see it coming. I'm curious from your perspective, and if you can give the audience a glimpse inside the organization, what do you like most about Jonathan Gannon?
Yeah, I mean, he is a guy that's very no nonsense, and very a word that he uses a lot, which is serious. So, you know, when he comes into the media room and he's talking to us, I mean, a lot of times he's like this. I have noticed the last couple, it feels like he's, I mean, I don't know if it's loosening up is the right term, but you could tell he's having fun for sure. Where I think at times last year, even though they were seeing improvements, and even in training camp, you know, training camp is like his most businesslike moments. It's very interesting when you see the progression. But I love how he and his coaching staff, I mean, you could tell how dedicated they are to what they're doing. And every minute of the day, it's going, right? How can we get better? How can we coach these guys up? They believe that they could coach these guys up. I mean, I think that when they see what they have on the plate, right? Monty Austin Ford has laid it out. This is your group of players, and they have coached them up to the point where these guys truly believe they can scheme up anybody. They are using the players' strengths to the team's strengths, and I just think that now that he's seen a little bit of the reward coming. You can see him, you know, smile a little bit here and there, but he's a guy that believes in everything he preaches about this team and the discipline he's instilled. You look at how young these guys are, Jonathan Gannon in particular. They're so young, and yet they are very disciplined. They're kind of old school in that way, and they want their team, and they know that's the path to success. And the players have bought into that. You can see that because this is a team that doesn't beat themselves. And that's number one, you know, Brad. I mean, you can't be going out there, and I think it really shines a light on too what we've seen in the past too, the coaching that where it was deficient. And so it's been very impressive to me what JG has done in a really short amount of time.
Yeah, I think it's underreported or under talked about just how competent they look. Because we've seen a lot of incompetent football. We've just seen a lot of times through, I've been here 30 years where they're very seldom has it look like a team that walks out there and just is coached better or has a better roster. And the Cardinals look like the better organization than the Jets, not even just in the final score. Just like, okay, they are out coaching what is going on with New York. New York has no answer. They cannot stop the momentum. They can't do anything. And that's just better talent. And the same thing, I'd say, even against the Chargers. I just looked at it and was like, yeah, they've got some nice players over there. But, this roster, top to bottom, is much better than what we've seen. And I appreciate competence. And I also appreciate there's no arrogance. There's no. Look at us, we're being disrespected. The national media is not done. All that nonsense. It's like, just shut up and play. And I feel like this organization now has somebody at their leadership role that is, yeah, okay, we won. We're supposed to. Let's go on to the next game. Let's go to the bye week. We don't care when the bye week falls. The bye week's on the schedule. There's nothing we can do about it. Let's just move forward. And I like that.
Yeah, and you look at JG, what he did with installing two young guys who have been elevated in their roles, Nick Rawls as DC, Drew Petsing as OC. And you know, Drew Petsing went through a lot of criticism. When you see your scheme not coming together, when you see your players just missing, you know, when the wide receivers are not exactly timing things up, and the routes aren't precise, and Kyler's a little off, and you know, when it comes together, you can see what happens. I think what we're seeing right now is we're seeing everything meeting and melding into what they knew it could be. And you're right. These guys all had a resume, you know, despite how young they are. And everywhere that they had been known as extremely hard workers, just dogged in their preparation. And that's going to win out every time. I mean, you know, and it is, it's interesting because we've seen coaches through the years, Brad, that experience is a thing. I mean, we know that, right? The more you see, the better you can be. But in a limited time, these guys, each of them, they've soaked up, and I'm not mentioning the rest of the staff too. You know, they have a really good staff top to bottom. And Jeff Rogers, who's the special teams coach, is incredible at what he does. I think he's the best in the league. I think he's a guy that could be a head coach. You know, I think there's a lot that he could do. But they all take a lot of pride in, you know, they've soaked up the younger guys in a short amount of time, a lot of knowledge throughout the NFL, and they're bringing it right now to the benefit of the Cardinals.
Jody Jackson's Gems brought to you by E.D. Marshall Jewelers. We appreciate E.D. Marshall Jewelers. And of course, Jody, I'll see you again next week.
All right. Sounds good, Brad. Have a great week.
Now it's time to talk all things college football with the one and only John Wilner, Wilner Hotline, nationally syndicated columnist, part of what we do here at Sports360AZ.com. Always good to catch up with John Wilner to chop it up on the college football scene. Before we look ahead to this week and some items that are of interest to me, you took in the Holy War for the first time at Salt Lake City, Utah BYU, total chaos. Total anarchy by the athletic director at Utah afterwards, made national headlines. You right there in the middle of it. So what was your takeaway, John?
Boy, it was something else, because the game was won. The undefeated team with playoff aspirations came back, kicked a winning field goal in the final seconds, and that was not the story. The story came about 15 minutes after the game ended, when Utah athletic director Mark Harlan walked into the news conference and sat down. This is unprecedented, right? Sat down and just blasted the Big 12 refs, unprofessional. He said, you know, the game was stolen from us. He said, I could not believe this, but he said, we've been happy in the Big 12, but we aren't right now. I mean, whoa. There was all because of a defensive holding penalty on the Utes on a fourth down play. If the play had stood, game over. Utah wins because BYU was out of timeouts and behind. Instead, defensive holding, it was a ticky-tack call. Defensive holding gives BYU a first down. They end up with the game-winning field goal. Mark Harlan was beside himself and just really blasted. It was a next-level criticism from an athletic director about conference officiating. Okay. And the Big 12 fired back.
No. But here's the irony of all this. Here's a guy, we're happy to be in the Big 12. What, does he want to go back to Pac-12 reffing? Come on, John. You know how bad Pac-12 reffing was.
Well, yes, but the thing is that the crew, the head referee at the Holy War, used to be in the Pac-12, right? And he's actually a pretty well-respected. I haven't tracked down the history of the side judge who was the one, I believe, threw the defensive holding penalty.
Yeah.
But a bunch of the former Pac-12 referees are now working games for the Big 12 and for the Big 10. And I don't know if you've noticed, but there's been some controversy, right? I mean, going into – there have been a whole bunch of big-time issues, right? I mean, USC's had a few, Washington.
Yep.
All the fans thought that the problems were going to be solved with the officiating when they went to these new conferences. No, partly because the former Pac-12 refs are in these conferences and partly because there's officiating problems everywhere. I mean, we saw what happened in the SEC in the Georgia-Texas game with the bottles being thrown, and they reversed the call. And that actually could have been a DEFCON zero situation for the SEC, except for the fact that Georgia ended up winning. But there's problems all over the place, and the Holy War situation was the latest, but because it's a rivalry, it was kind of a that helped take it to the next level.
John Wilner with us for a couple of minutes. Wilner Hotline, nationally syndicated columnist, all things around college football as we get closer and closer to the CFP. You were there in person to watch BYU against
Yes.
And so you are the one that I can ask about this. If BYU were to play Georgia straight up, or Alabama, or Ohio State, does BYU even come close, John? They're sitting there undefeated. People are like, pretender. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I think they'd get wiped off the field. I have watched every BYU game on TV and now seen them in person, and they are a good team. They're a very good team in the Big 12, but they are not on the same plane or tier as the best in the Big 10 or the SEC. I mean, Oregon, BYU, I think Oregon wins that game by, you know, three touchdowns. Mm. Same if, you know, they were playing Ohio State or Georgia, Texas. But that's the reality of the Big 12's new existence, right? There's a lot of parity. It's very exciting. The team that's picked last, ASU, can be in the hunt. The team that's picked 13th, BYU, can be undefeated. Colorado, plenty of examples of the topsy-turvy nature. But the bottom line is, it doesn't have any elite teams. Those teams are now in the SEC, Texas and Oklahoma. So it's going to be very competitive, but the best teams in the Big 12 and probably the best teams in the ACC most years are not going to be as good as the SEC and Big 10's best.
Well, and we just saw Miami of Florida completely choke both hands around their neck.
Yes.
They can't make it now, John, can they? I mean, yeah.
Well, they can't make it as an at-large, I don't think.
No
they
way. Could.
The ACC is interesting. SMU is undefeated in ACC play. SMU lost to BYU early in the season. Miami and Clemson both have one loss. Those three teams don't play each other. SMU, Miami, Clemson. So they're at the top of the ACC. They don't have any head-to-heads. I don't think any of those teams are going to get into the playoff unless they win the ACC and get the automatic bid. Colorado, BYU, Kansas State, Iowa State, all those top teams in the Big 12, they're not getting in, I don't think, unless they win the Big 12 and get the automatic bid. We are looking at a situation now, and we'll see what happens Tuesday with the second rankings. We are looking at the very distinct possibility that all of the at-large teams, there's seven spots, all seven will go to Notre Dame, the Big Ten, and the SEC.
Hmm. And there would be huge uproar about that, would there not?
Depends on where you're located. I think maybe on the Eastern Seaboard, Southern Plains, yes. But, I mean, the majority, I don't think ESPN's going to have a big problem with it, put it that way, because the SEC will get treated well. There's always going to be less uproar when the favoritism is given, I think, to the big brands, as opposed to when the little guy gets in ahead of an Ohio State or ahead of a Georgia. But the Big 12 and the ACC don't have any elite teams. I mean, maybe some years they will. This year, they simply do not. BYU, undefeated, not you just watch them play. They're not nearly as good as the best teams in those two conferences.
Okay, two other things. I'll get you out of here. John Wilner with us for a few minutes. Deion Sanders. So Deion is sitting out there in the college football playoff, much like my thought that, of course, Notre Dame's going to get put in there. Doesn't matter what happened earlier this season. You could say they deserve it. Is there part of you that thinks, like even a smidge, that the playoff committee wants Deion because it equates to ratings, one? Two, is he the coach next year at Colorado, or is he coaching the Dallas Cowboys?
Well, I think that certainly there is a piece of the committee of the selection process that would love to have Colorado in there. I don't know that – I don't think that they are talking about ratings. I would be surprised if they are in those discussions. But they know ESPN is paying for this thing.
Yes.
And they know ESPN would love to have Deion in the playoff, right? So there's it's kind of the white noise in a way. But I don't think there's an overt discussion at all about let's get Colorado in. Colorado is going to either – it's going to be clear. If they win the Big 12, they're in with the automatic bid. If they don't win the Big 12, then they have three losses and there's no chance of them getting an at-large bid. So it will be, I think, pretty cut and dry with Colorado. As for Deion, I just look at Jerry Jones and think of all the Cowboys' problems, he's going to give Mike McCarthy an extension. I mean, nothing makes sense with them, and that's what doesn't make sense. I mean, McCarthy should have been fired years ago, I think. So let's just say the Cowboys win the Super Bowl, then he'll fire McCarthy. Then would he hire Dion? Probably. I mean, I just think Dion has never been a long time fit with Colorado, right? This was a stepping stone job for him from Jackson State to either the SEC or the NFL. I don't know if he has a preference for the NFL versus high level of college, right? I mean, if Florida State, I don't think, is going to have an opening. If Florida State did have an opening and they called, sure, he'd probably take that. Florida's not going to have an opening. Miami's not going to have an opening. So maybe he goes to the NFL. Cowboys make a lot of sense. I don't know, but I certainly think that there's a better chance he's not at Colorado than that he is at Colorado. I don't think it's 90-10, but I think it's probably 55 or 60% chance he leaves.
Last question, I'll get you out of here. Arizona State at Kansas State. You and I spoke about this at Media Day, and every national publication wrote about it last July, that will be the game of the year to decide the Big 12 or a stepping stone to it. What do you think happens this Saturday night in Manhattan, Kansas, John?
ASU has had a remarkable season. I thought they were in a little bit of a letdown mode against UCF. They survived. They did it without Scadaboo. Good for them. 7-2? Amazing. I think that's a tough one, a very difficult matchup for them. K-State's very well coached. They're very good at home. I would be mildly surprised if ASU wins. I do think that they will make it competitive into the fourth quarter. KSU, I still think KSU, you put everybody in the Big 12 on a neutral field. I'm picking Kansas State to win that tournament. And certainly in Manhattan, that's a tough one for the Devils. But you can't discount their chances against anybody. It's been an incredible season for them.
I'll let you go off that. I appreciate your time as always. Thanks.
Thanks, Brad.
And we're back with more after this timeout.